Okay, here we are, and welcome back. We are live. I'm hopefully going to get Mitchell Henderson on here. Mitch just emailed me, and he wants to come on. So, Mitch, if you're listening, call the studios. Call the studios, and we'll get you right on. There's so much going on that will actually be a logical extension of Mitch's Monday visit, so we'll see. We will see. Let me find what I'm trying to find here. Hang on one second. Okay. I want to go back to this and pull it up in a little bit more detail. What Dmitry Medvedev said. Allegedly, he advised Putin to start World War III before Trump's 50-day ultimatum. Now, this should be front page. This should be the number one story in the Western world today. Medvedev, I'll go with the English pronunciation, is one of the people that I'm sure Putin uses to either float concepts or speak for him in some ways. Here's the story. This is from Armstrong Economics. Pretty good, always pretty good stuff. After reading you for more than 10 years, this is the question to Armstrong. I understand that you are the best at geopolitics because you honestly know history. Medvedev has called on Vladimir Putin to consider preemptive strikes against the United States and its allies, that means all of Europe, in response to Trump's theatrical 50-day deadline. What would your advice be to Putin, since no leader can do what Trump has demanded and remain in power? And the answer? I would give the West 31 days, This is Vladimir Putin's response, I believe. No, this is Medvedev's response. It's not labeled, so forgive me. All right, let me pause on that note. I'm going to back this up. It's not labeled. How funny. All right, Mitchell Henderson is with us now. Mitch, how are you? Hanging in there?
Good, how are you doing? Yes.
Well, I'm trying to figure out this story. It's written almost like you're not supposed to be able to understand it, but whatever. The story is Dmitry Medvedev advised Putin to hit the U.S. and Europe before Trump's 50-day ultimatum runs its course. That's pretty amazing. Vladimir Putin says, we don't know what he said because his answer is not published yet, but Medvedev said, I would give the West 31 days to remove Zelensky and hold an election in Ukraine. Okay, 1-2. Zelensky out, you hold an election. Honor the Minsk Agreement, which was always mocked by the West, and let the Donbass vote on separation, as took place, continue. If that is not carried out, the Ukrainian people will be given 2 weeks to vacate Kiev, and then the city will be leveled. That's what I've been saying for 2 years plus now. The only way to win this war is to name three cities, maybe I said four, but at least three, and you give the Ukrainians, I would give them 36 hours to vacate, and then you level the cities, and that'll end the war. That's what Medvedev is saying right here to Vladimir Putin. I think that's pretty amazing. I'm not claiming credit, but it's the only way to deal with this. You're not going to deal with it. You're not going to sit down and negotiate peace with Zelensky and the West. It won't happen.
No, no. Well, I NATO? Think they know that that's not going to happen. You have to, when you look at Medvedev's statements and Putin's statements, it's a good cop, bad cop thing. Medvedev is the bad cop. He comes out. He's the one
who
threatens. He's the one who threatens people. He's the one who says, talks about the dire consequences. And Putin just remains diplomatic about things. However, there's some things that are, you know, what we had was a situation where by Biden was just stumbling ignorantly towards war. He was pushing red lines and stuff. And now we see basically Trump doing the same thing. Trump is talking about actually selling long-range missiles to Ukraine, and even telling Zelensky, yeah, go ahead and bomb Moscow and stuff, you know?
Oh, he actually, when he said he didn't like the phone call with Putin, and he purportedly told Zelensky, mm-hmm. go ahead and hit Moscow to get even, because the phone call didn't give Trump what he wanted. I think I think the people who are suggesting that Trump may be sliding into dementia or other brain mm-hmm. problems may be right. This guy is not acting at all logical, pragmatic, which if anything else, you've got to be pragmatic about the power you hold. You can't be irrational like a child throwing a fit. And that's what he's doing.
Well, listen, here's the thing. I mean, most of us all grew up in families, you know, and we were teenagers, we were little kids, and we would look at the way little kids would respond when you get into trouble and stuff. Okay, it's like, I mean, I saw this sometimes. The excuse that the child gives is so lame that it's ridiculous that they would even suggest such a thing, but they do, and it shows immaturity of mind. It shows actual self-absorbed delusion. Okay, and the thing I'm talking about is how, you know, it's very simple. On July 7th, Netanyahu shows up at the White House. On July 8th, all of a sudden the Epstein files don't exist. Within a few days, it's a hoax made by the Democrats. And Trump expects his base to believe this nonsense. I mean, what he expects us to believe is so absurd. Now, I do know, unfortunately, there are people that believe everything he says, okay? I don't know what to say about that, but, right. You know, it's like we know that Epstein, his job was to take powerful men and take videos of them having sex with young girls so that they could influence them, okay, called blackmail,
right.
All right? And he did this for Israel. He did it for the CIA. And that's why even when Trump first came into office and they said, oh, yeah, we'll release this, is Trump actually that stupid that he didn't realize that this is a Mossad operation and that this is a critical to Israel? Revealing the Epstein tapes would be an existential threat to the state of Israel. They're a small country. They need to do dirty things like this. Okay, I want the audience to keep in mind that if Israel is doing this for their national security, if they're having grown men have sex with little girls for their national security, they are an immoral nation that does not deserve to exist. And if the United States is going along with this and joining in on it, we don't deserve to exist either. Okay, you know, there is no reason ever to have little girls have sex with grown men and stuff. That is beyond the pale. Okay, that's disgusting. So what Trump has done is just at the flip of a dime, he says, oh well, you know, why is everybody talking about this? I mean, his behavior on the Epstein thing is like a child.
Very well, I said
the
child.
Excuses are the excuses are absurd.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more. It's unbelievable what's going on. The way Trump lies, the way Trump lies, is not even remotely clever. He just lies.
No, it's not clever.
And
it's
stupid lies.
Yes. Yeah.
I've never seen anything like
lies.
It. No, it's like he's mentally troubled. He just mm-hmm. you can't go through life and do that. You can't. It's like pronouncing the sun is really not there. It's a light bulb. It's stupid. I mean, it's right. Unbelievably dumb. So that's what we've got. We've got a Zionist stooge in the White House. You just saw Netanyahu come over again last week, I guess it was, with 16 or 17 of his top officials. And they sat down basically and told Trump what they needed. It's what they do. They don't want to do it long distance. They come over and tell him face to face. Trump says, yes, sir. That's what he does. This is awful. It's just getting worse all the time.
Well, you know, and Trump cannot see, what Trump cannot see, which other people can probably see, is he promised us that he would not be sending money and guns to Ukraine. He said, he criticized Biden when Biden was allowing them to shoot our missiles long range. He criticized Biden. He says, Biden is going to get us into World War III. Now, what is Trump doing? He's doing the very thing that he criticized Biden for doing. Okay. So how is Russia looking at it? It's trying to take a big picture of strategy. Something else is happening in the world that really, you know, it's not really sexy, so people don't pay attention to it. But they had this big BRICS meeting in Brazil, and one thing that the nations of the world are getting sick and tired of is bullying by Trump. You know, oh, we're going to put tariffs on you. He's just disruptive to everyone. And you know, what BRICS would like to do is they'd like to trade their own currency. Trump threatens them. Oh, I'm going to put a tariff on anybody who doesn't use the dollar. I'm going to put a tariff on that. I'm going to put a tariff on this. You know, we're going to shut down trade. They're talking like he's giving them 50 days, which doesn't mean 50 days, as we saw with Iran. 50 days to...
what means anything with Trump
anymore?
...for China
and India to stop trading with Russia. This is insane. Russia, India, and China and Brazil are in BRICS. They're not going to stop trading with each other. They are a trade bloc.
We're being told
Trump is just going to order them to stop trading.
We're being lied to virtually all the time. Not just the big lies, the overt, obvious lies, like there are no Epstein papers or there's no list. There's an overt, obvious, stupid lie. We're being lied to about everything, constantly. The whole flow, the narrative coming out of the White House and any other power center we may or may not have here, is all corrupted. It's not true.
Just stop and think about it. What Trump did to himself, I mean, talk about political suicide.
Right. He's blasted
his
MAGA.
His Epstein thing just destroyed his base thoroughly. And you can see his shills out there, I mean, scurrying. I mean, I saw, like, right after he did this, Charlie Kirk and Benny Johnson and all these people who really are Trump thing, I see them tripping over themselves, trying to make excuses for Trump, and they're lame. They're not looking good. They're losing credibility. The only guy that got up there and just said it like it was is Tucker Carlson. He says, no, this is a Mossad operation, and it's real. You know, this is real. This is what they really did and stuff. He ties it to what it is. I mean, look, if you break it down and look at it, what Israel did is it pulled Trump into the United States into a war with Iran, and it got Trump to close down the Epstein Files thing. Okay,
right.
So these were two gifts, and what Trump was trying to get was a ceasefire with Hamas, which he did not get. Netanyahu went home without giving him that ceasefire. Trump gave Netanyahu two really big things, and then Netanyahu didn't give him anything. So, and then he committed political suicide for Netanyahu. Okay,
Very good. He fell on his sword for him.
Yes, for Netanyahu. Mm-hmm. He put Israel before the United States. He put Israel before the people of the United States. He put Israel before everything. He has he has fallen down and worshiped the Antichrist, and America is going to pay the price. Okay, so there's several things that are going on here with the way that Trump is acting about weapons with Ukraine. Russia is looking at these Tomahawk missiles that they're talking about giving Ukraine and stuff. These are nuclear-capable missiles that could carry nuclear warheads.
Right.
They cannot distinguish, is this a nuke coming at us, or is this an adventure weapon coming at us? And you know what? They cannot take the chance, all right? So we are really...
Are you talking about Germany's Taurus missile or an American medium-range missile?
The Taurus, of course, is a German missile, so it's not really meant to carry nukes. But they're talking about... Trump is talking about giving them American missiles, okay, that are nuclear capable.
It's like we're back to the 1960s with Jupiter missiles in Turkey pointed at Russia.
Yep. I mean, listen, it's just, the war started on June 22nd. There's no ands, buts, or ifs. That was
I
the
think
start.
You're right. I like that.
It's
I think you picked the date. I think you're right.
You know, we're at war with Iran. Iran is getting ready for war. I mean, that's what they're going to do. The thing is the question is who's going to shoot the first nuke? Okay, and keep in mind that when Israel gets to the point that it has to nuke Tehran, okay, you do realize that their policy is not to just nuke Tehran. They will be nuking Paris, London, Washington, D.C. at the same time. Their policy, like the Hannibal option, their policy is the Samson plan. And that is, if Israel is going to fail, they're going to bring the whole world crashing down with them. Okay? Mm-hmm. They're not going to let anybody have peace. They're not going to let anybody have anything. I mean, if you want to visualize the way the government of Israel thinks, think about every depiction you've ever seen of Satan and the devil and the way the devil thinks and Satan thinks. This is how the people in Tel Aviv think. This is how they think. Okay, look at what they're doing in Gaza and the West Bank. They're murdering people. They're committing genocide, war crimes, ethnic cleansing.
Well, and we're paying for it. Don't forget that. And the American people are looking the other way. We're paying for this. Our silence, we allow. And we're allowing it. The American people should be out in the streets, but they're not. And that'll never happen again.
No, and here's the thing is, what I'm trying to say is that the evil that you see Israel doing in Palestine, I mean, they just at will they go bomb Syria. They just go bomb a nation that's at peace with them. They just go bomb them. They just bomb people like crazy. They have zero morality, zero ethics. This is Satan. This is not a rational human being. Israel does not represent a human being. A soul. There is no soul. This is pure evil coming from Israel. Okay? Pure evil. What you see them doing to Gaza, would Israel actually nuke the United States with the Samson option? You know, let me ask you, why would you think that they wouldn't do that?
That's the best way to look at it. Why would you think they wouldn't? That's right.
Yeah.
They will. They don't give a damn about bringing the world down. They don't give a crap about killing 500 million people. They don't care.
No, they don't care. They do not care. So let's look at it from Russia's point of view. Okay.
Very good.
What would Russia like to do? What would be the ideal situation for Russia? First of all, if Iran gets in a big shooting war with Israel and the United States, this is good for Russia because this will be an air war and a naval war, and this will degrade our air and naval forces. Okay, So that's good for them. The second thing is that when the United States sanctions India and China and Brazil for doing trade with Russia, let me tell you, the dollar is going to drive up. That dollar is going to come home. And we're going to see inflation like you have never seen inflation before. It is going to destroy our economy. And is that good for Russia? That is very good for Russia. If we have an economic crisis in this country at the time that we're going to war with Russia, that is beautiful for Russia. Okay, and then ultimately, that's beautiful for China. You know, let's look at China's goal. What does China want to do? China would like to get the United States out of their business. In order to do that, they need to get America out of Taiwan. Taiwan belongs to them. The United Nations recognizes Taiwan as a province of China, that it belongs to China. China cannot invade Taiwan because it's their own land. They can't illegally invade it. It belongs to them. That'd be like if we sent a bunch of National Guard troops to the 82nd Airborne to take over Sacramento in California and bring that state under control. That is not the United States invading California. That's an internal matter. Okay, that is not a formal invasion of one country by another. So China invading Taiwan is not an invasion of one country by another. China is not going to send troops on the ground. They can very easily, relatively inexpensively blockade Taiwan and bring it to its knees without really having to go there and bomb a lot of stuff that they'll have to rebuild later. Okay, they can just blockade them and starve them out. Okay, can the United States really do anything about that? Well, no, it really can't, because China is only 100 miles away from Taiwan. The United States is 7,000 miles away from Taiwan. It's just we cannot win there. We cannot do it.
Okay. We can't find, all right, Mitch, beyond that, though,
yes.
We don't have the munitions, we don't have the inventory,
no,
we don't have the men and women in the military to fight a two-front war. I'll submit we don't have the ability to fight a one-front war unless we nuke and get lucky. We don't.
Well,
we're going to lose.
That we can't even fight a third-world country and win.
Okay. You may be right.
Okay.
May be right.
Well, there's
you
nobody
well
we can fight and win. We can't.
Right.
We really can't do it. Okay. So you know, I just think about the hubris and the arrogance of the very thing that after 20 years in Afghanistan, fighting illiterate goat farmers with no superpower support at all, after 20 years of that, we are defeated by the Taliban in Afghanistan, by these people that. They don't even have an economy. They've got nothing, but they defeated us. And then immediately, the United States says, well, we have to go to war with Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran. Are they out of their minds? They just lost against this nothing country with nothing, and they think they're going to take on two major superpowers and then two. Well, they're very strong. Iran and North Korea do have strong militaries. They're not anything to compare to the Taliban. Okay, they're much more powerful. They're with much more armaments and training and everything than the Taliban has. Okay, I mean, are we out of our mind that we think that we could do this? And under Biden, we were going to do this. For the sake of sodomy and abortion, basically. This is why we're going to all die, for these stupid reasons. You know, now we're going to do it because Trump has an ego and he wins the Nobel Peace Prize. I mean,
I just can't believe it. I can't believe this is happening. It's just, it's so ludicrous, all of it.
Yes, it is. You know, I mean, listen, you know, our government, our press, our news, everybody talks about these countries as if they don't have a brain and they don't have a soul. They talk about them as if as if, oh, everybody in Russia and Iran and North Korea and China, they want to be like American, and they want to live in America and stuff, okay? I can assure you that they don't, okay? When I went to China, I noticed that most Chinese people were kind of liked to live in China. You know, it was their country. They liked their country. You know, the people aren't over there like beating them with whips and driving them to the ground. They live fairly comfortable lives. They enjoy their family. You know, they have a life and stuff, just like we do here. I encourage people, get my book, The Final Wars. Just read Chapter 9. Understand where Iran's coming from, North Korea, China, and Russia. Get the big picture. Everything, if you look from their point of view at Trump, Trump looks like an idiot to them. Trump doesn't understand anything as far as they're concerned. I think on the last program I was talking about Trump and the president of Liberia coming on, he doesn't know nothing about Liberia. I mean, he goes around talking to people in the world, and he doesn't know anything about those people or what's going on in their country or anything.
No. That's right.
He just thinks everybody, Trump is God, and everybody wants what Trump
have you,
wants.
Honestly,
but this is not true.
Do you? And I've been watching, like all of us have. Trump really is beginning to project like somebody with severe psycho-emotional problems. I'm seeing that. I don't know if anybody else is, but I sure see it. I don't trust the guy's stability at all. I don't think he's going to make it to 4 years. I would be shocked.
Well, the thing is
now he's got edema, too, which is suggestive of possible heart problems. Maybe he's got more. Edema's tied to many things, but go ahead.
Well, it's like a heart failure thing. I mean, this. You can just carry it under heart failure. When you talk about venous insufficiency, you're kind of splitting hairs a little bit, because if you want to look at your heart...
Oh, really, it's a stupid expression to use. Nobody understands it. I mean, it's not that it's hard to understand, but it means many things.
Yeah, well, basically your heart isn't just a simple organ. Your heart pumps things through your arteries, but comes back through your veins. So you might look at the heart and the veins and the artery as one organ, okay? Just like your skin is one organ. You got your skin that you wear a shirt over, then you got the skin that's exposed to the air, but it's all the same organ, okay? So, he's in his late 70s now. You know,
so I know he's 79, he's 78 or 79,
yeah,
he's 80.
Yeah. So he's, you got to remember
and
that
40
Trump
years
has
of
been
McDonald's,
his whole life,
right?
He has always been a showman, okay? In other words, I would say that what Donald Trump actually was in life, he was a showman and he was a con man, okay? And that's what he's done his whole life. He does not have any depth of knowledge about anything. He has no vision. He has he has got no long view of anything. He's just have a superficial understanding of the world. Because when you're a showman, the whole thing is 90% of it you're faking, right? It's a show. You're just putting on a show.
That's true.
This is the Donald Trump show. You know, that's what he's all about. It's the Donald Trump show. We had this election in November, and the choice of the election was Zionism versus Marxism.
Bolshevism.
Okay.
Yeah, whatever.
So,
whatever.
You know, who can vote for Marxism? That's how Trump got elected. Who can vote for Marxism, basically?
Well, I'll tell you who can vote for him. You know who can vote for Marxism? 77 million Americans can vote against Marxism, but 75 million voted for it.
Yes. So
that's something to think about.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, it's all about dividing. You know, there's so much division. I mean, even on one side, there's a lot of division, even on one side of the thing, okay? It's not just between two sides. Within each side, there's multiple divisions of things. This is all set up. So what I see Putin waiting for, he's waiting for the shoe to drop on the economy in the United States. And this is be a great opportunity for Russia, for China, for Iran, for North Korea to settle scores, okay? Not only that, but there's a lot of news we don't get. When we look at China, we're looking at Japan. You know, Japan's really kind of thinking about just telling the United States to go home. Okay, they're sort of tired of this. They think, you know, they're realistically, what should they do for their own benefit? For their own benefit, they should trade with China and they should trade with Russia. There is Russia with all this fuel just right there. Okay. I mean, this is such an advantage to Japan, it's not funny. And what about markets to sell things to? Look, they've got 1 billion people in China, 1 billion people in India, another 1 billion people in Asia. Do they really, their biggest trading partner right now is China. Do they really need the United States? What benefit does the United States have to them? So they're actually having this thought. So is South Korea. South Korea, their biggest trading partner is China right now. Okay, so you know, it's like they're more likely to have peace with North Korea if their friend is China and Russia than they are if their friend is America. America's created problems for these people. We're not there to solve anything. Okay.
Well, we're not solving anything.
No.
Who are we not creating problems for? Think about it. Everywhere Trump goes, everywhere he looks, that's right.
Not only that, but one day he says one thing, and the next day he says another. And I'm starting to notice that that's his administration also. Even the State Department, Defense Department, says one thing one day, one thing another day. I want you to pay attention to some things, because what Trump has done is he's given the appearance of doing things, okay? I swear, I look at the Stars and Stripes, I look at the Military Times. DEI is alive and well. I see all these women being promoted to combat commands and stuff like this, and you can tell there's DEI promotions up and down, left and right, all through it. All they've done is taken the veneer off of DEI. The DEI is so ingrained in the military, it's still happening, okay? I want you to look at immigration. There's this big show. Remember, Trump is a showman. There's this big show about kicking illegal immigrants out of the United States. In the last 6 months of the Biden administration, they have actually deported more people than Trump has in his first 6 months.
Interesting. Oh, by the way, the Trump administration has dropped more bombs already than the Biden administration did in 4 years. Trump 6 months. Military industrial complex is smiling and happy? Yeah.
Oh yes, they are. They are. All Trump really did on Ukraine is he made the Europeans pay for the weapons we sent there. That's all he really did. It was just a bait and switch thing. Okay, but the military industrial complex is still getting zuku money from the war in Ukraine. Okay. So, and this is, you know, listen, if you were thinking, do we live in the hell of the tribulation or something already? It's, if you live in Ukraine or you live in the Gaza Strip, yes, you're there already. You're already living it. Okay. Uh-huh. It's just going to take a little time for that to spread across the rest of the world. And as the global north gets into this big war, you know what this is going to do to the global south is it's going to wreck their economies also. Okay, so the people that are going to that are going to...
People don't understand how the world is so interconnected. They don't get it now. And now AI is changing everything. It's interconnecting things in ways they will never understand. They won't.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, listen, we have now... We have to keep thinking about this great awakening, okay? There is a great awakening. COVID was the beginning of the great awakening, because what COVID did was it showed to a great number of people, probably the largest amount of people in the world ever, realized that the government, the press, scientists, the establishment is lying through their teeth to us. Okay, many people woke up during COVID.
Right.
Now we have another great awakening, and that's the Epstein awakening, because the lies are so lame to cover up for Israel. You see, they're bowing down to this Antichrist that is Israel. They're bowing down to it. They're serving it. And if they have to just lie to you straight up, stupidly, that is unbelievable to lie. That's what they're doing. Their lies are getting that big, that they're apparent lies. They're transparent lies. They're easy to see through. And, it's just here we are. You know, there's more and more people. What about all these people that had faith in Trump? Well, many of those people are going to fall away now. They're going to say, hey, this guy is...
I wish, Mitch, the same thing would happen to some of the 45 million Christian Zionists in this country. I wish they'd wake up and fall away, but that's not going to happen.
Oh, no, I actually spent a lot of time talking to some, and let me tell you, if I talk to these people and I tell them that Israel is the Antichrist, they hate me. They think I should go burn in hell for saying that.
Well,
because their God,
don't
Jeff,
tell them
their God
anymore.
Is
Keep
not
them in
Jesus
the dark.
Christ.
No,
their God is not Jesus Christ. Their God is Israel. Israel comes first and foremost. To them, it's a simple thing. Oh, if you bless Israel, then you'll be blessed. Listen, that thing in Genesis was talking about Abraham being blessed. If you bless Abraham, you'll be blessed. It didn't mean this country that exists now. It had nothing to do with that. But listen, the formula is very simple, and once again, I have to tell people that it's perceptions that make the world go around. It's not reality. The perception is this biblical perception that half of the world has that's carrying us into Armageddon. So even if you don't believe in it, it doesn't matter. It's sort of like, I remember taking my son when he was little to see this movie, Street Fighter, and they're in this tent, and there's a TV on, and this truck is coming as a truck bomb towards the tent to blow up, and this guy says, hurry up, turn the TV off. You know, like as if you turn the TV off, then the truck can't come in and blow it up, right? Well, this is what it's like. You don't have to believe in the Bible or prophecy or Christianity or anything.
Right.
You don't have to believe that. It's happening that way whether you believe it or not. You can't just turn the TV off and it's all going to be okay. You know, and to get back to it, once again, listen, sometimes what we do is we try to find a complicated explanation in order to evade just facing the truth, okay?
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, there's this thing in the Old Testament they call the sin of Balaam. And the sin of Balaam is this guy comes to Balaam, this king, and he says, hey, I want to attack Israel. Go ask if I'm going to win. So Balaam goes ask God. God says, no, they're going to get their butts kicked. I'm paraphrasing on this, okay, obviously. So the king doesn't like that, and he says, well, go ask again. So he goes and asks again, and God tells him, no, they're going to get their butts kicked if they attack. So he tells the king again, and finally, after being asked many times, God says, well, believe what you want, tell them what you want, you know, and he gets paid, and then, of course, they get their butt kicked, okay? So this is what human beings do. We ask the question over and over, trying to get the question, the answer that we're looking for, instead of the obvious answer. And the obvious answer is this: if we are to ask the question, "What is the Antichrist?" Let's just go to the verse of the Bible that tells you what it is, 1 John 2:22-23. It's very clear. If you deny that Jesus is the Christ, you are Antichrist. That don't complicate it further than that. Look at Israel. Israel, do they acknowledge that Jesus is the Christ? No, they do not. So is Israel Antichrist? Yes, they are. Okay, what about Iran? Do they acknowledge that Jesus is the Christ? No, they don't. So yes, they're Antichrist also. Okay? The second part of that verse says, if you do not have the Son, you do not have the Father. So is God on Israel's side? Israel does not have the Son, so they do not have the Father. God is not on their side. This is if you're a Zionist Christian, you need to wake up and realize you are worshiping the Antichrist. This is the great deception. You are going to see the next great Christian prosecution will be Christian Zionists persecuting people who do not believe that Israel is their God. Okay? That is the next great prosecution. Mm-hmm. It's going to come in the form of anti-Semitism law. Because if you do not worship Israel, you are an anti-Semite, and you are worthy of all their opprobrium. Look at that flag they fly all the time. It's got 6 points, 6 triangles, and 6 inner angles. 666. Mm-hmm. God isn't trying to make 666 obscure so that you won't see it. What's the point of that? He makes it obvious. And there it is, flying in your face every time you see Netanyahu on TV. You see it, you know? This man is as evil as they come. He is Satan himself, you know. But so many Christian Zionists, like 50 million Christian Zionists, worship Israel. This man, you know. They
bought into the guilt first. The guilt scam, and then they're not going to let go of it. Here's Marjorie Taylor Greene. I put her up at the top of the homepage because I think she deserves a credit. She's come a long way. She's learned a lot. Mm-hmm. But let's take it's only about 2 minutes here.
Israel bombed a Catholic church in Gaza, and that an entire population is being wiped out as they continue their aggressive war in Gaza. My amendment would strike $500 million in funding for nuclear-armed Israel's missile defense system. The U.S. already provides Israel with $3.8 billion annually in foreign aid. $3.8 billion, that's a lot of money. Additionally, the April 2024 security supplemental included $8.7 billion for Israel. Even though Israel, nuclear-armed Israel, has universal health care for their citizens and subsidized college for their citizens. They're able to provide that. However, here in America, we're $37 trillion in debt. My amendment will ensure an America First Department of Defense, and that is exactly what we need and we haven't had for a very long time.
Okay, pretty funny. All that money. It's like a horrible parasite sucking the life's blood out of this country constantly.
Oh, yeah.
And we are only too happy to give it what it wants. Wow. Good on her.
Well, this is just, we're headed, hurtling indelibly this way. Inevitably, okay.
Yeah.
So now is the time. Listen, there's certain things. There is a chance that I've in the past I really talked as if I'm talking from the point of nuclear war, but I need people to start thinking that we're going to have economic crisis coming up here, possibly long before we have a nuclear weapon go off. Okay. So you need to go out and you need to stock up on stuff right now, okay? You don't want to be The last thing you want to do when this all goes down is be dependent on the government. Okay? You don't want to do that.
No.
You need to be self-sufficient with food,
but
you water,
see,
and
how are people going to do that when they have virtually no more disposable income? Millions and millions. This country was predicated upon entrepreneurial spirit, creativity, and dedication. Millions and millions of businesses have been destroyed with utter intent. The COVID vax has been given to 80% of Americans, most of whom are fighting the beginning and obvious terminal disease circumstances that they're going to face because of the spike protein. It's not a joke.
Yes.
We are being wiped out, and no one wants to face it. Well, I shouldn't say that. You people, I get it.
There was a thing here in New Mexico where our governor, Michelle Lujan Grisham, she actually, I had these friends in the city of Grant, and they had this food store going on, okay?
Yeah.
And what they had done is they had gone to different food distributors, and they had their own truck instead, their own trucks. So they would go and buy food stuff dirt cheap, bring it up to Grant to a little store, and they sold it for about half the price that CBS or Albertsons or, you know, whatever, Rouse or Safeway, whatever stores you got where you are, the regular chain stores, they're selling it like half the price. So all the poor people in Cibola County could go there and stock up on canned food and just other kinds of foods. It was a lot of non-perishables, like in cans and in packages and stuff like that, even including candy bars and stuff. But he got everything cheaper. During COVID, she had the state police go shut them down. They had to sign an agreement that they would sell their goods at the governor's set price, which was twice what they were now charging, to poor people, okay, or they had to close down. Well, if they have to pay twice the price that they were charging, if they had to charge twice the price, then they're not competing with the big chain stores anymore, which I think was the point, okay? It's like she purposely shut down a major sources of food. This is not just this one story. This was throughout the state of New Mexico. She's shutting down these food sources that the poorer people could go and get food from. And she's, of course, a woke Democrat. Okay. So, you know, Marxist, in other words. So, yeah, you got to starve people to get them to obey you. That's the main thing. So it is all about starving you to get you to obey. It's not a new tactic. I remember I knew these guys. This is back in the mid-80s. They belonged to the Eritrean People's Liberation Front. And they were talking to me about how the Benjitsu of Ethiopia, that he would get all these food supplies for free from, you know, the UN and all these donor nations and NGOs and stuff. But if the people wanted the food, they had to come into his government area and they had to buy it for him. He didn't give it away. They had to buy it from him and stuff. Okay. He used food as a weapon against the people. And this was a deliberate tactic. And both sides, the EPLF and Mengistu, were both communists, both Marxists, but the Mengistu was Moscow-oriented at the time because Moscow decided to back them instead of
the Soviet Union used to train a lot of Africans. They'd bring them up and put them through Marxist school. And anyway,
So, you know, I think what we're seeing is the same thing. They have been intentionally cutting food supplies every way that they could in order to use ultimately food as a weapon. Food will be the weapon. Food will be what they use to control you. So I just suggest you go do your best to get a bunch of canned foods and stuff and be prepared because they're going to use this against you, you know.
Always have. And they just turn off the food supply and people will line up. Bread lines, soup lines, whatever line you want, and they'll be there. Thanks, Mitchell, for stepping in. It's really crazy. Anything can happen almost any time now. Don't expect it to happen on prediction. The prediction will not work in this case. Russia, if it acts, is going to just act. Boom, and that'll be it.
Yeah, it could be any time,
It's quite serious.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, my friend, thank you. Talk to you Monday.
Okay. You're welcome. Okay, bye-bye.
Very good. Okay, gang, we will continue with Father Paul Kramer from Ireland next, and let's see what he has to say about the shelling of the church in Gaza. That's coming up next.